I want to certainly ask for your prayers today as I try to share with you the message. If you would like to read with me, please turn there to 1 Peter chapter 1, and I want to begin reading with the third verse. And I'm going to say this, that only God is able to look at our hearts. Amen. But, you know, I really believe that for any child of God, anybody that has truly been saved by God's grace, if you can read or listen as they are read to these scriptures that I want to share with you today from 1 Peter chapter 1 and not be moved and not be excited in your heart, then I think maybe your heart has become cold. Because the Apostle Peter here, some of the things that he says in this concerning what we have waiting for us ought to be of great excitement, ought to cause great excitement in our hearts. And if it doesn't, then maybe we just need to pray that God will help us to get our hearts right. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now listen, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. How many of you today have a great love in your heart for somebody that you've not yet seen? Having not seen, ye love. But, you know, I believe the song today, I believe that the King is coming. And I'll tell you what I believe. I believe he's coming soon. And every eye will see him. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And that's reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 3 and reading through verse 9. For a scripture reading today. And I want to speak about a subject today, something that the Apostle Peter mentioned in these verses that I have read, and something that is spoken of time and time and time again throughout the scriptures, and that is joy. And I would like to speak about, I would like to use for a title, Having Joy and Remaining Joyful. Having joy and remaining joyful. And I'm going to ask, as the Apostle Peter said here, this faith that that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, having been saved by His grace through faith, this faith that we have in knowing one whom, though with the natural eye we have not yet seen Him, we have not yet beheld Him, but we have through the eye of faith, and we know that He's real, and we know that He dwells in our hearts if we've been saved. And that is enough for us to cause us to rejoice and to have joy, unspeakable, unexplainable joy that's just full of glory. And so I want to ask everyone here, as I begin this, I want to ask you if you would to just in your own mind to just take time for reflection, to just think back to the moment that God saved your soul. When God spoke peace to your soul, how many of you felt great joy in that moment when God did that? And perhaps if there's any reason to define what I'm talking about, this word joy, and most of the time in the scriptures, it even in the Old and New Testaments, most of the time when you find this word joy in the Bible, it's always talking about the same thing. It's talking about cheerfulness, it's talking about delight, it's talking about gladness, it's talking about great spiritual excitement. And so the Apostle Peter here, when he said that we rejoice with joy unspeakable, he's saying we're glad. We're glad. We're excited. We are delighted and we are cheerful. And, you know, certainly I've never heard anybody yet in all the years that I have tried to serve the Lord and been among God's people, I've never heard any person yet stand up and give their testimony and say that when God saved them, that it made them depressed. It doesn't work that way, does it? It gives us great joy. It makes us feel happy. It makes us cheerful in the Lord. I know I've shared this with the church before, that when I got saved, I called my mother and woke her out of her sleep because I just had to tell somebody what had happened. I just had to express to somebody what I was feeling in my soul. So you think about that. You think about the joy that came into your heart, the cheerfulness and the gladness that you had when the Lord saved you. I mean, how many times have we seen this? How many times have we seen somebody, even when we were gathered for worship, that was just broken, that was just under a tremendous load of conviction, that was condemned in their soul, that was afraid? Sometimes it even comes out in their physical expressions. I've seen people literally tremble, their body tremble while they were seeking the Lord. They're so torn up. And then they get saved and all of that's gone. All of that fear, all of that torment, all of that condemnation is just gone, and God has replaced it with peace, with joy, with contentment. And you can feel it. Amen. You can feel it when the Lord does that. And so we have joy. Now, I'm going to make this statement, and I'm going to make it very emphatically and very forcefully. And I'm not going to take the time to share the scriptures, But if anybody here has any problem with this and you want to talk to me afterwards, I'd be more than happy to speak to you about it and share the scriptures with you that caused me to believe this. But I'm going to say this, that every single person that has ever been truly saved will remain saved for all of eternity. Not one person that has ever been truly born again by the Spirit of God will ever lose their salvation. Amen. Now, there are people that believe that you can, and you may encounter people that will tell you that you can be saved and then lose your salvation, but that is wrong. The scriptures teach us plainly, and one of those things that we read was right here in these verses that I read from 1 Peter chapter 1. Why can we not lose our salvation? Because it is being kept by the power of God. And there's nobody that is more powerful than God. There's nobody that can take anything away from God. Jesus said, my Father that gave them to me, no man shall be able to pluck them out of my hand. We are eternally secure in the Lord. But there are fruits of the Spirit. And if you read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, where the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit, the first thing that he says is love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, which is superior. The Apostle Paul said the greatest is love. It's greater than faith. It's greater than the gift of prophecy. The greatest is love. And so when he wrote concerning the fruit of the Spirit, he spoke about love, and the very next thing that he mentioned as the fruit of the Spirit is joy, cheerfulness, gladness, delight is a fruit of the Spirit. You know, when the Lord saves us, according to what we read in the fifth chapter of Romans, and you know, listen, when we first get saved, we may not and certainly cannot understand all that's going on in that heart. We just know we feel good, don't we? But we read about it and we learn about it as we go, and we read how that in the fifth chapter of Romans, that something that God did for us when he saved us was that he shed his love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. If you've been saved, God put his love in there, didn't he? He put his love in your heart, not in a little bitty corner, but he shed it abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And he put joy in there. And he put those other things that Paul spoke about being fruit of the Spirit. So joy, just as love is something that the Holy Spirit puts in our heart when we are saved. Now, you know, we're not able to lose. We will never lose. It is impossible. It is impossible for somebody that has been saved to ever be lost again. Because the power of God keeps us eternally secure, and we cannot lose our salvation. But the Bible does teach us that the joy of our salvation can be lost. The joy of our salvation can slip away. We can lose the joy of our salvation. And I'm going to say this, and this is what I really want to try to get to today more than anything. But listen, when the people of God, when an individual child of God or the people of God collectively, if they ever lose the joy of their salvation, it's a big deal, folks. It really is. And I'm going to share some scripture here, Lord willing, just a little bit later on to explain to you why I make such a statement. This is one of the things, if you read, and Brother Ernie read this morning in Sunday school from the 16th chapter of John. If you read beginning with the 14th chapter of John and the 15th chapter and the 16th chapter, Jesus is giving to his disciples some final instructions and some final things that to comfort them because he's soon going to be leaving them, and he's soon going to be going to the cross and doing the work that the Lord sent him here to do, and then raising from the dead and ascending back into heaven to be with the Father. So he is instructing his disciples. He's telling them how that after he's gone, that the Holy Ghost will come, that there'll be another comforter, and he's telling them things that they can anticipate. And in those instructions, in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, he had spoken to his disciples concerning the fact that he was the vine and they were the branches, that they were attached to him. And in that discourse that he was giving them concerning the true vine, in the 15th chapter of John in verse 11, and we find these words spoken by Jesus on more than one occasion. If you go through those three chapters, you'll find Jesus saying this to his disciples on more than one occasion, him saying, "These things have I spoken unto you for this purpose." And in John chapter 15, verse 11, Jesus, after he had instructed them and told them about him being the vine and them being the branches, and how that as the Father had loved him, that he had loved them, he made this statement. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." That's what the Lord wants. That the joy of our salvation, of his salvation, the joy of the salvation that the Lord gave us would remain in us. That's what the Lord wanted for those disciples that he was addressing directly. And the same thing applies to us today, that the joy that God has given us, that fruit of the Spirit would always remain in us. That was the Lord's desire. You know, we speak oftentimes about how that the Lord, before he left, he instructed them in love. He wanted them to love each other. He didn't want them to turn on each other. He wanted them to continue to love each other. In fact, he said, "I've given you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples." But he also wanted that joy to remain within them. And I'll tell you what, nobody knows joy like a child of the King. I'll tell you what, there's people that are catering to the flesh. They're doing all sorts of things to satisfy the flesh and to make the flesh feel good. And boy, they think they're so happy, and they think that it's causing them so much gladness and so much excitement and so much joy. Let me say this. If you're here today and you're lost and without God, if you want to really know what it means to have joy, come to Jesus and repent of your sins before a holy God and place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, And when he touches you down in your soul, you're going to know what it really means to have joy in your heart. Amen. Joy. I'm talking about real joy, not superficial. Not something that'll tickle the flesh, but something that will cause your soul to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm glad I've got it, aren't you? I'm thankful for the joy that God put in my heart. It has sustained me through many things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul made a statement here that I find very interesting. And not only when I read this, but I have seen it come to life in the lives of God's people. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4, the Apostle Paul said, "Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort." Listen, he said, "I am exceeding joyful." Now remember what joyful means. Cheerful, delighted, glad, having gladness. He said, "I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation." What? Paul, I mean, if you read about and study about the life of the ministry of the Apostle Paul, you'll soon see that he had a lot of trials in his life. I mean, he faced a lot of persecution. He had people trying to take his life from him, and finally was martyred. And he explains in some of his writings all the things that he went through, all the things that he faced in serving the Lord. And Paul said, "I can be glad, I can be cheerful, I can have joy in all of my tribulation." Well, you know what he was doing? He was doing exactly what Jesus told us to do. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you." There's, again, he's using that language. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation." Does anybody here today really think that they're going to make it through life without having tribulation? Do we really think that we're going to make it through this life without having trials? I'll tell you what, folks, none of us are leaving the world unscathed, are we? We're going to have our trials, and we're going to have our troubles, and we're going to have our problems. But don't ever let anything, don't ever let the devil use anything to take away your joy. That was the Lord's desire. Don't ever let anything take away your gladness. And he said, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Amen. Be of good cheer. Have joy. Have gladness. Be of good cheer. Why? How can we do that? In the world, when we're having tribulation, when we're going through these things, when we're facing these trials, how can we be cheerful? How can we be glad? Because Jesus said, "I have overcome the world." That's how. And we belong to him. And so, you know what? We, through him, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Oh, listen, the Apostle Paul said, "There's nothing high, there's nothing low. There's not anything that can separate us from the love of God. Famine can't do it. Nakedness can't do it. Persecution can't do it. There's not a trial, friends, If you have really been born by the Spirit of God, there's not a trial or anything that we'll ever face in this life that can take us away, that can take away from us and separate us from the love of God. Amen. It'll be there. I'm sure that the things I faced in this life, I'm sure that the trouble and the trials that I've had in this life are not all behind me. I'm sure that if God lets me continue to live, there's going to be trouble ahead. There's going to be things that are going to be sad. There's going to be things that are going to be heartbreaking. But when it's all done, folks, I'm going home. I'm going home to be with God. And outside of the gates of heaven is where all that stuff will be. I'll never be afflicted with it. Listen, we don't have to let the troubles and the trials of this life take away our joy, because God has saved us. And he's given us eternal life. And he's given us an inheritance that's incorruptible and that's undefiled and that will never fade away, and that's reserved in heaven for us, and that is being kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, that's ready to be revealed in the last time. And we're going home one day to the place that God has made for us, where there is no trouble, and there is no death, and there is no sorrow, and there is no heartbreak. Thank the Lord for the salvation of the soul. Joy unspeakable and just filled with God's glory. Y'all like to sing? Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Yeah. All ye lands. Listen, Psalm 100, 1 and 2. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Serve him with gladness. Not with anxiety and not with depression. You know, when we have those problems, and we do, we need to look to God to deliver us from those things. And he can deliver us from those things. Serve him with gladness. Let our attitude be like David's was when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us come together to worship our Redeemer with gladness and joy and great excitement in our hearts, because we are, after all, the children of God, aren't we? We are all heaven bound, aren't we? All that have been saved, we are heaven bound. Now, I have witnessed some things, and there's, when I was studying this, there was something that came to my mind, to my memory. I remember one time, church I was pastoring, one of the members of that church, one of the deacons of that church, had lost his mother. And thank God she was ready for the journey. She was ready to go. He lost his mother. Hearts were saddened. Death does that to us, doesn't it? Saddens our hearts. We see our loved ones slumbering in death. We know we're going to miss them. It saddens our hearts. I went to the funeral. And this family, after all the everything was said and done, after the service, the memorial service was carried out, everybody had pretty much left the room there, and this family gathered there in front of that coffin. And they were there, and they were sad, and they were weeping, and I was standing back in the distance a little ways. And this family, as I watched them, as we've seen many times, as their grief rolled down their faces in tears. And I stood there, and as this family gathered around in front of that coffin there, they began to sing. They started singing. They started singing a good old gospel song. And before I knew it, they begin to rejoice right there in that funeral home. They begin to rejoice. And, you know, I'll just make my assessment of what I believe happened. I believe in the midst of all that sadness that was in their hearts and all that grief that they were feeling, the joy of the Lord just overtook them. And they began to, no doubt, they were thinking about the fact that their loved one had now gone to heaven to be with God, that she had left this body of trouble behind and had gone to be with God, and they begin to rejoice right there in the midst of that scene. I'll tell you what, the Lord has put a joy in the hearts of His people that can cause us to rejoice in the Lord in the midst of no matter what is happening in our lives. You ever been able to just, when you felt like everything in the world was falling apart, yet you could rejoice in the Lord? Sure. Be of good cheer. In the midst of all, Paul said, I can rejoice in the midst of tribulation. You know, the joy that David expressed having lost, the joy of the Lord's salvation. You know, David sinned greatly against God. I mean, he committed many hideous sins, and he lost the joy of his salvation. He didn't lose his salvation. He lost the joy of his salvation. And when he realized that, he wanted it back. He wanted it back. Boy, isn't it good that if it gets away from us, isn't it good that God's willing to restore it? He wanted it back. He missed it. He repented. You read the 51st Psalm and you'll find out that he repented before the Lord for what he had done. And in that prayer of repentance, he asked the Lord to restore that. And listen, there's a statement that maybe as God's people, maybe we overlook this. Maybe we don't think about this as often as we should, about how important that it is that we don't lose the joy of our salvation. Because listen what David said, Psalm 51, verses 12 and 13. He prayed to God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You know what? We're not going to reach out. We're not going to reach out to other people that are in need of salvation if we don't have that joy remaining within us. You ever wanted somebody else to have something that you had if you weren't excited at all about having it? That's what David said. Lord, you restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and then I'll teach transgressors their ways, and sinners will be converted. That's a pretty serious scripture there, isn't it? The world needs to see in us the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. Paul wrote an epistle, the Philippian. The epistle he wrote to the Philippians deals a lot with joy. There's joy in the Lord. There's joy in serving the Lord. We ought to serve Him. As the Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. We ought to serve Him from the joy that He has placed within our hearts. And listen, in the Hebrew letter, I shared this verse last week, in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer said that we were to lay aside every sin and the weight that so easily besets us and run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. And if you do a word search, if you go back to the 51st Psalm, you'll find out that the joy that David mentioned there when he said, when he prayed that God would restore unto him the joy of his salvation, that it meant gladness and it meant cheerfulness, that the Lord, David was praying that the Lord would make him have gladness again and cheerfulness again. If you go to the 12th chapter of Hebrews and you do a search on what Jesus, what the Bible tells us about the Lord having joy before Him, you'll find out that it means the exact same thing. Joyfulness and cheerfulness. What is the Hebrew writer really telling us? That in the midst of being crucified, the Lord had cheerfulness. He had gladness, even in the midst of being crucified. What did He do? For the joy that was set before Him, even being crucified, He could see things that made Him happy. He could see things that cheered Him on. Sinners coming to the Lord and being saved through Him throughout the generations, throughout time. Cheerfulness, the joy that was set before Him, helped Him to endure the cross and despise the shame. Our little kids come up, maybe at vacation Bible school or maybe Sunday school, and used to hear this song more than we do now, but I remember a lot of times little kids in church coming up and singing, I got that joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to walk. We don't need to lose it, do we? We don't need to let it slip away. We don't need to let the devil take it away. We don't need to let the world take it away. We need to continue in the joy of the Lord. Brother Strode, let's have a song. I want to say this again while we stand and sing. If you're here today and you're lost and separated from God, if you want something that'll really give you true joy in this life, you come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and seek Him for the salvation of your soul, and you will have joy unspeakable and full of glory. God bless you. Thank you for listening while we stand and sing.
Number 167 in the church hymnal. 167. I have found His grace is all complete. He supplies every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. I have found the pleasures I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing, I am saved from the awful gulf of sin. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how its waves of glory roll. It is like a great o'erflowing well, springing up within my soul. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told.
You know, I don't believe that as